We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively out on a cup of soup or bowl. We're here at State Fair. It's lunchtime. Cyndi Lauper's playing. I'm staring at all sorts of rock stars and David Bowie and Eddie Vedder. And I got the Freddie Mercury on the right. And we're underneath of the great, great Joan Jett of Silver Spring, Maryland. Oriole fan. It's almost Oriole season here. All are brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the magic eight ball I have been rubbing. Luckily, we have great guests coming out this week. It's been a big week. We skipped Fadley's on Tuesday. We're going to do that 2 weeks from now. But if you're out listening and driving around, Coco's on Wednesday. We had Clancy Haskett, famous beer vendor Clancy, and Rasig joining us. John Hoey from the Y. Lots of great conversations, including out here with Kate Paris from Accelerant and LLS. And my friend Caitlin Kirby, who runs the Catonsville Emergency Assistance. We're doing all of it for the Maryland Food Bank and feeding folks, and our friends at Wise Markets also chipping in these Wise conversations. So I, you know, as a Tony Robbins principle of, you know, ask the universe for, you ask people and you'll, and people will come. So I yelled out to the internet, all 10 of our listeners, well, 9 now that my mom passed away recently. So we have 9 listeners. I said, if any of you have a great story to tell or you want to come on the show, and Bruce Klopine emailed me and said, I'm going to read the specific email here just so I know we're good here. This is about Patapsco State Park, but it turns out like Sarah's House and Catholic Charities. And then I shared a Bill McCarthy piece literally this morning, and Bill's no longer running Catholic Charities and wasn't around, but wrote this beautiful piece about Catholicism and Christianity and giving and kindness. Basically all of the things that went on when Trump was elected and he wrote that nasty stuff to the woman who was trying to basically bring us all together in prayer. But Bruce Klopine is here. So are you here on behalf of being a park ranger, or are you here on behalf of Catholic Charities, or are you just here because the chicken and waffles are good?
All three. I would say originally, Nestor, it was a matter of representing Friends of Patapsco Valley State Park and our adaptive initiatives. But as we mentioned, I work for Catholic Charities as well, so I'm happy to talk about the work that we're engaged in there. And last but not least, the food is good here. I'm a patron of a State Fair. Got good stuff.
I bet you are. Let me fix your mic here real quick. I want to say this. You came up to me, and you didn't even, like, get into State Fair or the park. You came up to me with some sort of Cleveland story. You're like, I went on a something with Cleveland with you. And I'm like, all right, on the air with that. So everybody knows, and because I'm in Catonsville, Moeller will attest to this, I don't green room. You know what I mean? Like, anything we've talked about before we come on, we're probably not going to talk about. So give me the how do you know me? Because, you know, people love to come to me and say, remember me? I was on your trip to Cleveland.
Right.
But you were on my trip to Cleveland, apparently.
Right. 8 degrees of Nestor represented here. I'm a local Baltimore boy, so, of course, I grew up as a Colts fan, and sadly I'm old enough to remember when they left. And conversely, it was a joyous time when we finally got football back in Baltimore. And as you well know, shortly after the Ravens came into existence, one of their most notable road games was at the Cleveland Browns. First time they'd be back against their old self.
Did we beat the snot out of them, like 38-9 or something? Billick was talking smack the whole way, right? I'm right, right?
Yeah, kicked the shit out of them.
Yeah, but 99. Probably, right? 99,
and it was a
did we go to
trip.
We went to the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yep. I went to the Football Hall of Fame.
It's a bus trip sponsored by you back in the day. And one of the memories there is getting off the bus. I remember was we were certainly advertised as Ravens fans.
They hated us, man. They hated us.
They were throwing shit at us.
Woo! 41-9. 41-9.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Yep.
And later on, a bunch of us, we actually were able to break bread and tailgated, or post-tailgated.
Tony Banks and Ty Detmer, Eric Rett ran for 100. ER, I got to call him. 117 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game there.
Yeah.
Ravens with 315 yards of total offense and a time of possession of 34 minutes. Attended 72,898. How about that?
Hundreds of which were Ravens fans, definitely.
I'm trying to go through the box score here. Tony Banks, 14 of 25 for 129 yards.
Old school football.
Priest Holmes, 10 carries, 40 yards in that one. Oh, the great Stoney Case. Stoney Case carried the ball 4 times in that game. How did that happen? The late Chuck Evans also in that game.
Oh, wow.
Kadri Ishmael, Justin Armour, Aaron Pierce caught two balls in that one.
Wow.
And my buddy Pat Johnson, my Facebook friend. And, Jermaine Lewis fumbled one in that one. We won 41-9. Ray Lewis made 11 tackles in that game. That's all.
That sounds about like Ray.
Kim Herring, Deron Jenkins, Dwayne Starks, Rob Burnett, Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, the late, great Tony Siragusa, Corey Harris, Keith Washington, who I saw at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh.
I was walking through the Hall of Fame when Ray went in, seven, 8 years ago, and I'm just standing in the middle of the Hall of Fame, and there's Keith Washington. So we had some fun. Yeah, man. Michael McCrary was on that team. Fernando Smith was on that team, but his barbecue on Thanksgiving night was not. Peter Boulware, my Facebook friend, Cornell Brown, the great Lionel Dalton, and Chris McAllister. There you go, 99 Ravens.
Damn fine team.
Bring it back for you?
Yep. Great memories.
I think Flynn probably was playing guard on that team, too, so that might have been good, too, Mike Flynn. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so you had a good time in Cleveland. You wrote to me, and I think you wrote to me based on the parks, right? Like, you wanted to talk about good things in our county, our area. You know, my wife's from New Hampshire, and we live downtown, and she sort of knew about Oregon Ridge because they had fireworks and whatnot going on up there. But I can't say that, like, when we lived downtown, we knew a lot about the parks until COVID.
Right.
When COVID happened, we were like, all right, let's go discover gunpowder. And I know my wife went hiking through Patapsco several times during COVID. Mm-hmm. She hikes without me. I'm not a hiker. I don't like mosquitoes. I don't like bugs.
Well, you're a city boy, right?
I was going to say I don't like people, but there's no people in the woods.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great place to go get away from people. But during the plague, my wife and I went to Centennial Park one day, and that is – Centennial Park's beautiful.
Yeah.
So we walked through there. So I have done park walking, but I said to my wife, it's a plague. Once I put the bleach in my arms, it's going to fix me, and then the next time there's a plague, I'll know more about parks. I'll be honest with you. We went to parks because we went to Patterson Park. Do you know that there are birds and a fish pond in Patterson Park?
I was at Patterson Park last weekend.
I did not know that this – so I learned all this during the plague, but I think I said to her then, you do know the minute, like, I can go to stadiums again and, like, go have fun and do things. I'm probably not going to be, like, hiking through Patapsco Park, but my wife still is she does Cromwell Valley State Park. She does Loch Raven. She knows trails. She follows the trails on Google Map when she goes places, and she is she has poles. You know, it's not she does it with her sister and her dad. They go up to New Hampshire and do like that's what she loves. That it's not that part of the marriage for me. I like concerts and cities and people. But tell me about the woods,
ma'am. Well, first off, your wife she's geared up. That's impressive with the poles and whatnot. Good stuff. So about the woods and Patapsco Valley State Park in particular, the backstory for me is I grew up in Ellicott City, and I always say I was really blessed by geography because the state park was literally a stone's throw from my backyard. And growing up as a kid from the age of five there in Ellicott City, in many ways, that park was my first and remains my best friend. And so I'm on the board of an organization called Friends of Patapsco Valley State Park, Nestor, and many, not all, but many Maryland state parks have these boards. Like there's a Friends of Gunpowder, there's a Friends of Assateague. And what we do as a volunteer board is we just advocate for the park, raise money and such. But in particular, what's really been a passion of ours these past 4 years is adaptive programming. And what I mean by that is for folks who have special needs, mobility challenges, they may be vision impaired, they may be autistic. Folks who are otherwise marginalized for those opportunities for the park.
Inclusion.
That's what it's all about. It's all about for us ensuring that the park is a treasure for everybody.
If I say the things I'm capable of saying this week, I just almost spit out something that was just raw. But nonetheless, anyway, I just know so many people in my life that I've encountered that are the most beautiful people who already deal with incredible difficulties. So we're talking about inclusion. Keep going. I just have to take a breath when I hear that somebody wants to make things like this not possible for people. But go ahead.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, it's really a personal thing for me. I mean, to share with you, back when I was in high school, my mom suffered a severe stroke, which impaired her moving forward. And we're talking for 30-plus years. And
you probably didn't have a lot of resources then, right?
Not as much.
Right,
and
right.
We were a family that really loved the outdoors. I mean, grew up with a pop-up, then an RV, and did so much camping and hiking, canoeing. And clearly that had an effect on her, obviously, and it had an effect on the family. So to
and
me,
just getting her to the woods was tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, you wouldn't think of things such as adaptive trails and sensory trails, which we have nowadays. And so to me, you know, those of us who are part of boards of state parks and those of us who love parks, it's all about those experiences. And why not ensure that those experiences are available for everyone, no matter what your level of aptitude is? So we work with folks like the Kennedy Krieger Institute and the Maryland Autism Society and the Veterans Administration.
I talked to Polly Surhoff this week and BJ. They couldn't come out this week, but Pathfinder is doing great things.
Sure.
As well with autism, yes.
Yeah, so it's great when we have these folks attend these events. And when I say these events, we sponsor four primary activities. They are hiking, kayaking, fishing, and biking. Ironically, we were going to have our next adaptive hike scheduled.
Oh, hiking, fishing, biking, what?
And kayaking.
Kayaking, okay.
Yeah, and ironically, we were going to have our next adaptive hike this Saturday, but they've been paying attention to the forecast. It's not looking good, so we're going to reschedule
that.
Yeah,
this is not the time of the year for parks. Come on, you're about 6-8 weeks away. We got to get some weather here.
I know.
Parks go with baseball for me.
Yep. Just trying to fill the calendar. But it's great when you go to these events and you see these folks who, you know, may have never been in a kayak before, may have never been in an adaptive bike before. So, you know, the worlds that opens up for people, it's really a wonderful thing to see.
Well, tell me about your park a little bit, because I am not familiar other than we are in Catonsville. We're here at State Fair. We're right on Frederick Road across from El Guapo. And I know I can drive up about 8 blocks past the post office, past Jeff Moeller's place, and make a left. And I've seen the sign, you know, the entrance, because it's, you know, park signs are very noticeable and they're wooden and they, but I don't know what's behind that sign or where to park. I've also been, obviously, Ellicott City, and Evan here had his floods over at Portelli's and years ago and the two big floods over there. But every time I'm over there, you can feel, you don't feel it on Frederick Road here, right? You don't feel like you're near a park, right? Mm-hmm. Like literally.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know that. I think you know it when you're on the top side of the Beltway and you look over where my radio tower is and you see that there's Loch Raven there, or you see Cromwell, you can see these parks. This one is a little bit more, unless you're on 40, you drive up the hill and through the forest. Anybody that's driven on 40 at Baltimore National Pike, you wind up in a forest and you're like, oh, so I think, but that thing goes all the way down and around Howard, the whole deal, right? It's a huge park, right?
Yeah, Patapsco is a very unique park in that it's very long and very narrow, 16,000 acres in all. It's the oldest state park in Maryland. And
I knew you'd have the deets. I knew you would have the math on this for me. I don't know what the hell that 16,000, but I do, it's a big park.
It's a large piece of open space. And what I love about the park, it's so multi-user. I mean, it has opportunities there for kayaking, for camping, for mountain biking, for disc golf.
See, I've never thought to myself, I'm just going to go pitch a tent in Patapsco Park and just hang out.
Oh, man, you just drive right down here on Frederick Avenue and Frederick Road a little bit in that Hilton area.
I got heat at my house and a refrigerator and cold beer.
Master.
I would get the internet out there, though. That's the thing about the woods now, though, right? So, full story. By the way, Bruce Clopine is here. He is going to give us some Catholic charity stuff, too. And as a longtime listener, thank you for reaching and coming out and meeting me and saying hello and being nice and all that. My wife is a hiker. And back on her birthday, it was the day after her birthday, it was June 1st. So, but it was her birthday weekend. And, you know, this is not uncommon. I am, I don't know if you could tell on the internet, but I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur. I mean, I work. Mm-hmm. I'm a worker. I don't really have any hobbies. You know, I don't go to movies. I don't like movies. I don't watch TV. I don't play pickleball.
Go to concerts.
You know, but I'm a hot yoga guy because of my back, and it keeps me healthy. It keeps me young and sexy. Keeps me feeling good. Makes me feel like I'm going to live longer. But I like my work. I mean, I do a lot of work. So Saturdays are a work day for me. I get caught up. This week I'm going to have 40 different charity and community pieces that folks are going to want to see out of Baltimore Positive, so I work on that. So she came. It's June 1st, beautiful day. And she's like, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go up to the park. She walked out the door, walked up, walked in, walked to the park. She's gone 20 minutes, 9 o'clock in the morning. And she called, my phone rang. And I was like editing something. I looked down, my phone's ringing. I know she's in the woods. I'm like, oh, no. Answer the phone, crying, screaming, fell.
Oh.
turned her ankle in the woods, trying to figure out where she is. She GPSed, obviously could GPS herself. She screenshot where she was. Wasn't far from where I was at that point. I jumped in the car. I got her in 4 minutes. She was at the edge of the park, and she made it up to a ravine, and I got her into the car, and I got her to urgent care. And she, within 30 minutes, she'd been x-rayed. She had a cast on, like the whole deal. But she hikes in the woods alone. Is that a good idea?
It's always good if
listen in. I'm going to focus on Bruce, honey. Here you go. All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
No, I'm half kidding because like you think it can't happen, mm-hmm. but the technology, and I all love to my wife, mm-hmm. the technology of having this changes hiking, I would mm-hmm. think, from 20 years ago. Like, I went up to Yakagani. I've gone down the river up there, and I've spent nights in tents with Marines and Boy Scouts and other things like that. My uncle had a pop-up, so I was in the woods as a younger person. But I would think technology is one piece of this. When my wife goes out, she knows where every trail is. She knows markers. And she goes to other parks beyond Loch Raven where we live near. But she goes to other parks all over the country, literally. And the technology part, the fact that she can look up your park online, know everything that's going on. We're in a different place that if you love the outdoors, and it's free, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like the other part is once you buy the thing, you're getting entertained. And it's not like sitting at a ball game with a beer. It's a healthy, wonderful thing. But the technology's aided that, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's good and bad. But to your point, the technology, yeah, it's harder to get lost, if you will, now. But you were asking about best practices in terms of hiking or whatever. Ideally, it's best to go with someone else just in case, you know, trouble runs amok. But
well, she's thinking differently now. She's seen coyotes out there.
Oh, yeah. But short of that, it's always good to let someone know where you're going and when you're going to be back and so forth. But, yeah, coyotes, definitely more of a common sighting now, so yeah.
You seen coyotes in Patapsco?
I have not.
But they are there.
They're certainly there. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have believed until I saw one myself, and I'm mm-hmm. like, what's that wolf doing? Oh, my God. I didn't think we had coyotes here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've seen, like, videos of little bears in, like, Towson and stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You got bears in that park?
Oh, I don't want to spread too many. No, I don't think we have
not
bears.
Not lions and tigers.
No.
I know that much.
No.
But bears, I'm worried about.
No, not at Patapsco.
Well, you're looking at me like I'm afraid of the woods. And
are you?
Why am I? You tell me. I just gave you coyotes and bears. So that's part of the issue of like, hey, honey, you go out, you know, call me if you see a bear. When she called me, I didn't know what she – I mean, clearly I found out quickly she was hurt, but I'm thinking – why are you calling me? You could send me a picture if it was something cool. But my wife has become very birdie, and I never would have told you the amount of birds that we have in this state. I mean, just this morning, I mean, in the snow, I shot 4 bluebirds. I didn't shoot them for you creeps out there that kill things. But I had, like, bluebirds right on our feeder
this
morning.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah, 4 bluebirds.
They're
right
beautiful.
There. They're beautiful. That's another part of the woods that would make me more woodsy.
Mm-hmm.
Like Geddy Lee, who's my idol, as you know. Mm-hmm. Geddy Lee's become a birder, he says. He takes his grandkids out for birding. Birds are cool, man, and I never knew this. This is the second time I've talked birds this week because I'm a Dundalk owl, mm-hmm. and I have my Dundalk people on. I spent my whole life – I'm in the Hall of Fame. I'm a Hall of Fame owl.
Mm.
When they put me in the Hall of Fame 7-8 years ago, I wouldn't have known anything about owls. Like, I didn't know that how cool they are.
Yeah, they're very
that
cool.
That they fly without sound, right? You know, like,
yep.
they're really nasty. Like, they eat, they go after stuff. I didn't know any of this until I saw an owl for the first time in my life. And I heard, whoo, whoo. So my wife, this is technology for you, okay? Because I'm not, like, going out. I'm not going out in the woods. I'm not Grizzly Adams. You know, it's not my thing. But I want to give you your space because my wife is... not Grizzly Adams, but she's
a little granola, sounds like.
She is, no question. This is the thing about her with the birds and stuff. She uses these apps. And she has the app, when you hear a bird, you hit the button,
mm-hmm.
and you know whether it's a finch or an owl or I guess it doesn't have coyotes, but it had. But every bird with the sounds they make out, so little juncos and different stuff like that. The technology of being in the woods is there. I mean, for a guy like me that never did it as a kid, was not. I'm a tenderfoot. You know this, right? There are things that make it appealing to me. That if when I do go hiking with my wife once a year to make sure she didn't break her ankle, that it. Seeing the birds, seeing things. You know, in Loch Raven, there's like old cars in the woods that people have junked, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I met this guy from Wise Markets that goes on these. He doesn't really want to be in Patapsco State Park. He wants to go to unwalked about land to find old trash, to find the old bottles. Mm-hmm. You know about this?
Yep, yep.
People are doing all sorts of stuff outside of watching the Orioles and the Ravens. Who knew?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the balance in life, you know? I mean, on one hand, we're inundated with technology and screens and whatnot, but then it's nice to have that fellowship with nature where you're removed from much of that stuff.
What do you like? Give me your favorite thing to do in Patapsco. So I'm going to go home to my wife tonight and say, hey, I had a crunchy granola tree hugger on named Bruce. Mm-hmm. What am I gonna tell her is your favorite thing? That you made a recommendation.
I'm a kayaker, so I enjoy kayaking. So I paddle a lot on Patapsco, and it's
where do you go in?
My favorite section is to put in below Daniels Dam, which is in Ellicott City, and take that down through Ellicott City proper, and take out just below the Ellicott City Bridge there. Patapsco is nice in terms of kayaking because it's nothing too heavy duty, but it's also has enough action, enough rapids to keep things interesting for people.
Yeah, I've been whitewater rafting twice. One time too fast, almost killed myself, literally almost drowned.
You mentioned the yacht.
And then the next time, it was we're stuck on rocks all day. You know, so there's that in between.
That can be miserable.
Neither one were particularly like having a crying girlfriend that thought she was going to drown wasn't fun, and then the second time pushing off the rocks. So I'm Gucci, man. I'm bougie, man. I need a Disney experience, Bruce. You know this. Kind of like that experience I gave you in 99 when we went to see the Ravens.
Uh-huh.
26 years ago.
How about that? Eric Rett.
We're both still here. Bruce Clopine is here. He represents two organizations. First, the Patapsco State Park and Friends of Patapsco State Park, as well as Catholic Charities. Let's talk about this because Maryland Food Bank, I've got awareness in food and groceries and stuff going on all around here. And Catholic Charities has been doing things forever. I saw people jump on my thread today, and I was raised Catholic, and Our Lady Fatima, altar boy with Johnny Rollo, as we told the story here last year, and just the whole deal. I was not privy to all the bad things that the Archdiocese and the Church have done here that you can Google and find out about or watch the movies, read the books, all that kind of stuff. And that's a heck of a thing to come back from, but I also go back to people like Bill McCarthy who wrote this morning something that I shared. I want you to talk about Catholic Charities because you're involved.
Sure. So thank you for that opportunity. And, so I work for Catholic Charities. I work at a shelter for families who are experiencing homelessness. And to me, one of the things I really love about Catholic Charities, I've been working there for 25 years now, is that every social justice issue that's out there has been addressed by Catholic Charities in some form or fashion, whether it's homelessness, whether it's poverty, whether it's Head Start, senior housing, you name it, they have their hands in it. And it's the largest private provider of social services within the state, over 80 programs, including the one I'm at. And to me, I think it's... all of us have an opportunity to give back, to do what we can. And that's the great thing about my job, because I am working every day with volunteers, with donors, and to me it's a great counterbalance, if you will, to the nightly news, because every day I'm receiving inquiries from folks, and they don't want something. They want to give something, you know, their time, their talent, their treasure. And so it's a really cool thing to bear witness to, because, again, you read the papers enough and you'll just be beaten down by, you know, all those negative stories out there. But I'm here to tell you.
I'm Baltimore positive. That's what I'm doing.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, I can get down on Justin Tucker or hold the Ravens or Orioles accountable, but the rest of the time I'm trying to figure out how we make this thing work. Mm-hmm. How do we make Baltimore better? How do we make the place work? Yeah. And I have been so heartened. I mean, even in this week, I should be sitting in New Orleans right now, right? I should be having beignets. Instead, I'm here with you and telling these stories. It's been more beneficial for me the last couple years to say, people beating on the city, I don't go downtown, we don't go there anymore, this is bad, that's bad. I think it's very, very easy to sit and be that person, especially if you admire this criminal, this felon running the country right now. And sitting back and just complaining about problems instead of picking up your phone, your time, your talent, your treasure. I love that. I'm going to be stealing the stolen. Credited to Bruce forever from that one. That people are doing things. Lots of people are doing great things every single day to help less fortunate people. And it's a way of life for so many of you. You know what I mean? Like, and I think I saw this with my wife when she was battling, which really inspired all this with Bill Cole. And I talk about it all the time. But when my wife was battling for her life down at the hospital, and doctors and nurses and organizations like the LLS for 100 years were trying to find ways to save people's lives, I looked at these doctors and nurses coming every day and think, I don't want to fight about sports with people every day or fight about Peter Angelos or whatever. There are people here doing things every day that I'm not aware of, and unless your wife has cancer and you go down there and you watch it all happen for a couple of years. And then I think if anybody donated ever an hour of their time to serve food to someone less fortunate, seeing the look in their eyes, and I've done this on dozens of occasions. You think about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving meals and serving that sort of thing. There's an emphasis on that on Thanksgiving Day, or there's an emphasis on Giving Tuesday or Giving Day, or this is 365 in your line of work. I mean, these are people every single day that need help.
It is, but it's all good. And as Bill McCarthy has so eloquently noted, I mean, this year it's all about love your neighbor, and that informs the work we do at agency. And to me, you can't really love your neighbor unless you know your neighbor. So you mentioned that connection, that empathy when you're, you know, in direct interactions with those folks, and, you know, there, but for the grace of God. So why not? You know, to me, a great way to count your blessings is to help pass some of them on to others in need. And again, my point is that, you know, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. And
well, your email said Sarah's house. So that's why I want to hear about Sarah's house, because it said that here.
Sure.
Volunteer resource manager, Sarah's house, Fort Meade. Yes.
Yep. So that's where our shelter is located. It's a really neat backstory, too, because we've been around as a shelter since 1987, but the buildings in which we're in, most of them are old Army barracks from World War II. And you can look it up, Nestor. It's called the McKinney-Vento Act, a federal statute back in the 80s, which said if there's vacant or unused military property and there's deemed a need for services for those experiencing homelessness, that those buildings can be repurposed to meet that need.
And so they look like barracks, probably.
Yeah,
right?
They are.
Yeah, okay.
And believe me, there are days when they feel like barracks, whether it's a heating or air conditioning. But the point is, it's they're put to good use again. We used to be one of eight shelters in the country that was located on Army property. There was one in Fort Belvoir. There was one in Philly. But as years gone by, we're the only one that's left. We're the last Mohicans.
What?
Literally.
Really?
Yeah.
In the country?
In the country that's on Army property.
I mean, that's kind of an incredible thing when you consider that. I mean, it's the most hallowed property we have, military property. I thought there would be more civilian shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also what's so important about that, Nestor, is that, as you might imagine, our folks come to us for a number of reasons, including issues of domestic violence and abuse. So being on military property, which is by nature safe and secure, the MPs and military police right down the street, it's good for our folks to know that they've got that extra level of security, which, again, many of us take for granted.
Well, and I think also when you're talking about people that have had problems with security, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people that are by their insecure or even food insecure. Like, mm-hmm. we use that as a term here many times this week. And getting people back on their feet. I mean, I always ask, this is a Republican in me, what's the end game to getting them back into, you know, being fully functional and where they want to be? I think that that's the... that's a question I try to hold to everybody. Say, what's the end game if you're feeding people that they can then feed themselves at some point? Mm-hmm. Or give them whatever the skills, the tools to be self-sufficient, right? I mean, that's always the goal of most of the organizations, if folks can be self-sufficient. Some folks aren't capable of that, and they need help.
No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, some things that really stand out with our shelter is, given our focus on families, about half our population is made up of kids. And I always tell people, if you remember nothing else but what I say, remember that, because, you know, we have our perceptions about everything in life. And I would venture to say, when we picture the face of homelessness, you picture someone our age. We don't think of an infant. We don't think of a teenager. But again, lots of kids at our program. So to me, yeah, we as adults, we determine our lot in life to a large degree. Kids don't have a say in that. So I think it's an important thing to note. And another unique thing about our shelter is the length of stay. Many shelters, you may have heard of a day program. When you're literally there for a day, you're there to get a shower, a meal, pick up some supplies, and boom, you're out the door, which to me, that's a value. It's of service. But you also can't affect
the But I also see people living under bridges and say, we've got to change that.
Yeah.
And that's not part of that, sending folks back out. Sure.
Right. So we have a longer-term residential component there, which really gives our families time to not just catch your breath because you're by nature in an emergent situation, but also the time necessary to locate housing, employment, and so forth. So it's the whole nine yards.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to Bill McCarthy, who isn't here. Anything you want to say about Bill? When Bill lost his daughter, maybe a quarter of a century ago now, our radio station, my morning show host at the time, Drew Forrester, read the story and wanted to do something. And our station, we erected an eagle for Eagles for Aaron, it was called. And I had Bill out last year. I don't talk about it much. Talked to Bill about it briefly, and then I saw Bill was stepping down. And for whatever reason, literally this morning, and I didn't even associate you. You're written in my book as Patapsco State Park guy. You're not written in my book as Catholic. Does that make you feel good or bad? I don't know which way it is. But Bill McCarthy wrote a piece earlier this week, a reflection he shared with the Catholic Charities colleagues and board members, and who is my neighbor? And it is long. It's 5, 6, 8 paragraphs here that I could read out. I would implore everyone to go to my social media. You can find it there. And even quotes Luke in Scripture, go and do likewise. Anything you want to say about Bill or about this specific message? Because I know you read it this morning. It actually mentions Aaron in here. Mm-hmm. She died 2007, so it was 2 decades ago. I said quarter of a century, but it's been 18 years, too long. Some thoughts?
Sure. I mean, in short, Bill's been a wonderful leader of our agency for all these years. And
how long you know him?
Ever since he had started working there, it's been, close to 20 years or so.
20 years.
Yeah, so, and to me, I mean, his story, he was gracious enough to share his story about his daughter, Erin, and how, that terribly sad circumstance really led him to consider, moving forward with his life in terms of the purpose he wanted to have. And that's really what brought him to the Catholic Charities.
And he talked at length on my show last year about that. You can check that out if you Google Bill. If you know Bill, love Bill.
So, he's been a wonderful
Can't know Bill and not love Bill.
Yep.
Right?
Amen.
Right? That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say enough. Bill, come back. See me soon. Let's talk about all this stuff. Let's talk about changing the world. Continue to change the world. We're at State Fair. We got Bruce Clopine here. He's trying to change the world with our friends at Patapsco State Park. Also, his work was Sarah's House, correct? Am I saying that right?
Uh-huh.
And of course, Catholic Family Charities. And you can find all that stuff out on our website and more. The Magic 8-Ball is here from the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving these away to folks here at State Fair. I got to get up and stretch out. Got a lot of people here. Kirby's over here working, getting people chicken and waffles. I'm going to have the salmon to go. Take that home tonight for dinner.
Nice.
You come get a crab cake. Beaumont, El Guapo, The Basement. Great, great folks over here. Evan and Keith have been a real boon to the Catonsville community. And also, this building right here that used to be the wallpaper place is going to be the Fishmonger's Daughter. Those are my partners at Fadley's. They're the ones I screwed over on Tuesday. I got to go back 2 weeks from now because I locked my equipment in a car, but they still love me. And they live in they're Ellicott City, Catonsville people too, the Hahn family and Damie Hahn and her parents, the Divines. So we will be divine with them 2 weeks from now. We'll bring our guests back down. We'll have some Magic 8 Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs to give away. 1 day left. We're going to be at Cooper's North in Timonium on Friday, all for the Maryland Food Bank. We're doing a cup of soup or bowl. My thanks to all the sponsors, all the people that have come out and dropped off canned goods and dropped off boxes. We had a whole bunch of stuff at Coco's on Wednesday and great conversations as well with a bunch of people. I mean, I had John Hoey on from the Y on Wednesday, and he was talking Head Start.
Hmm.
And now you've said Head Start.
Yes.
And the thing that the felon running the country wanted to go after federal money starts to get after Head Start. We're talking about 3- and 4- and 5-year-old children here. Rethink this. I'm here to educate those of you still with us who want to be educated about how this is really working for our people here on the streets of Baltimore and in Maryland. And there's a lot of people doing great things. I'm trying to talk to as many of them as I can this week. We call it a Cup of Super Bowl. It's part of our Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by Wise Markets, and we call them Wise Conversation. You are Wise Conversation. We do birds, trails, technology, Catholic Charities.
Ravens.
You got anything you want to say?
Just thanks for the opportunity. I sure really appreciate it.
Oh, I want the Ravens. I thought we didn't talk any current Ravens.
Current Ravens?
I was giving you the football thing. You used to call the show once in a while. We call to talk football.
Yeah. I'm just hoping Lamar can, hope postseason Lamar can become regular season Lamar. But other than that, I'm excited about the Orioles. Won't be long till March 27th, opening day.
You been to any other road trips since 99? You've been to other stadiums?
Well, that one was the best.
It was. It was just because it was mine.
I've been to a Panthers game. I went to...
Was that the one where we took over? It was 20,000 of us and none of them?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
But let me share you one of my favorite road trips, which wasn't much of a road trip, and that was down in D.C. against the former Redskins years ago. What was so memorable about that, Nestor, is that, of course, the Ravens won the game. That was an Ed Reed pick.
That was the
six.
Night Sunday night game, Halloween.
I think it was
5:06.
That sounds about right. But we came back to our tailgate area, and there was a limo that pulled up, and out comes Tony Siragusa, and he had a Miller Lite with us. So that was a memorable.
I have a picture of him in the parking lot drinking beer with me after the '97 game, when we were all standing on top of my van. Were you in that picture? Were you drinking a beer with Tony Siragusa with 1,000 people or three people?
It was quite a few people.
So I think I have a picture of that.
Yeah.
Are you in this picture? Hold on a second here. That was the 97 game.
Yeah, I can't recall what year it was, but it was an Ed Reed pick six, I believe.
No. That Ed Reed wasn't on that team then.
Oh, okay.
So Siragusa and Ed Reed never played at the same time together.
Oh, they didn't?
No. Well, they did. Reed was drafted. No. Maybe one year. Maybe the 0-2 year they played together.
Mm-hmm.
But this, look, man, I'm old like you. I start mixing these stories up. I mean, how many road trips I just had to Pittsburgh alone.
Too many.
That I can't remember them all. But I found this picture of Goose when he died, and I put it up. I got to find the main one. But Goose came to me in the locker room in D.C. The stadium was brand new down there. That was a game where Ray Lewis had a pick late in the game that sealed it.
Mm.
And I do remember that. But Goose said to me in the locker room, I want to come out and drink with all your people. Is this the picture right there? Is that see Goose in the middle there? Is that the picture you're talking about? It was a rainy game.
I mean, it was a
See, this is the picture I'm talking about right there. There's Goose sort of looks like Jack Nicholson in The Shining in this one because he's right in the middle, right? And there we were burning the hat. You see, I was burning the Redskin hat. There's my press box back when I used to be a media member, 1997. There's my ticket stub. And there's Goose. So, you know, anyway.
How about that?
You sure you're not in that picture? There's Jimmy DiPino's in that picture. There's Tom Maher in that picture. There's Steve in that picture from Section 513. There's Mike McGinnity in that picture. Me. I'm trying to see who else I recognize. This picture's 28 years old.
Yeah.
All these other guys are alive. Goose is the only guy in here that I know that's deceased. Yeah. You sure you're not in it?
Maybe. I had brown hair back then, too. So
all right. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Still salt and pepper now. That's all that wisdom growing in is what that is. I shaved my wisdom out today a little bit. Try to get that going. I'm not coloring it no matter what Marvin Lewis says.
Clearly,
Marvin sees me all the time
and
says, you coloring your hair? No, not yet. I'll let you know when I do. We're at State Fair. I'm going to go get I think I'm going to have a bowl of the cream of crab soup here because it's been highly recommended. I had a bowl of cream of crab yesterday at Coco's. It was delicious. My thanks, everybody, for joining us all week long. And great old listeners, old road trippers, doing awesome things with Catholic Family Charities, as well as getting out into the parks and canoeing and kayaking and doing some good stuff. I'm Nestor. We're at State Fair in Catonsville, not far from Patapsco Park, and here in the Ville having fun. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.